Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome your fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote is by Maya Angelou. Each time a woman stands up for herself, she stands up for all women. Love that quote. And I love my guest today, and you're going to love her too. Born in Philadelphia and raised in South Carolina, Dr. Carolyn Mack started her career in higher education. Later, she ventured into coaching, specializing in high school and college athletic opportunities. And during COVID lockdown, she became a certified master life and career advancement coach, focusing on empowering women professionals. As the midlife purpose strategist, Carolyn empowers midlife women to leap from guilt and dissatisfaction to courageous, authentic living. Oh yeah, we want some of that. She also works at the Uniformed Services University, recruiting students to become military medical officers. Her education is immense and could take me forever to list here. So go check that out in the show notes and let's bring her on. Dr. Carolyn Mack, how are you today?
I am doing great. I'm like, who is that person she's talking about?
Wow, she sounds pretty cool. Let's hear more from her.
Pretty nice.
So tell me, I mean, you've had a really interesting journey. How did you decide to move from higher education to coaching? What was that all about?
You know, I mean, I just had so many opportunities outside of what I did for work to work with people. And I found that I was good at it. And so I'm like, if I can coach a 4-year-old and an 18-year-old and all of that, and coaching people just along life's journeys. And, you know, they're like, hey, can you help? Yes, I can. And all of that. So it's like, why not make it a real thing? Let's go. And I love being educated. I love learning. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to, yes, COVID lockdown made me look a different way. And then I just went for it. And I went and I got certified as a master life coach and a career advancement coach. And here I am today.
I love it. You know, life does that sometimes. It opens doors for us, right? So have you had any epiphanies in your life throughout the journey? Anything that you're like, okay, this is it. This is a new way. This is an idea. This is something interesting to pursue. Anything like that come up for you?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would call them an epiphany necessarily, but I do have what people would call deja vu moments.
Yeah.
And those are those moments. It's like when I have them, it's always really surreal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been here before. And that kind of lets me know. And I always tell people, it's like, deja vu is when my body catches up to where my spirit has already been.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And that's kind of like, lets me know you're on the right track. You're going in the right direction, even though it may feel a little wonky. I always periodically get those little epiphanies that's like, okay, whatever I'm doing, I'm moving in the direction that I'm supposed to be in, although I don't necessarily see where I'm going to end up. So that's kind of how it happens for me.
I really enjoy that because, you know, I found in my life and in the people that I coach, their lives too, is that there is this element of embracing, coming back to body and embracing the forward motion without knowing it all. Because here's the reality. We don't need to know it all. We can't ever actually know it all. So
right. We're
able to still have a little bit of that trust, right?
Yes.
That faith that it's going to be.
Definitely. And how debilitating would it be if we knew it all?
Ugh, that'd be boring.
We know it all. It'd be boring and terrifying simultaneously. It's like,
it
you
would.
Want me to do what now? It's like,
yeah.
This is no, you know, and then we'll do what we usually do is like pull back. I don't know if I'm able. I'm, you know, but if you're trusting, if you're trusting the process and you're walking it out, it's easy to take one step. It's not always so easy to take 12 or 15,
right.
But you can
right.
always take one. right?
I like that. That's good advice. You know, I love when we can give our listeners that one thing that they can walk away with, whether it's a shift or whether it's a tip or something new. I love that. So, in your journey, taking one step at a time, have there been any of those, you know, kind of profound life stories? I love a good story.
All of my stories are good. Profound, not necessarily, but definitely funny. Let me see. A profound life experience, life story was when I realized, you know, in the midst of, you know, going through relationship challenges and things like that, and then realizing that I just wasn't loving myself enough to give people enough rope so they could love me. I was so busy trying to control them to get what I felt like I needed. And I was like, you're really not loving yourself enough. Because when you love yourself enough, because I always felt like I wasn't good enough. I guess we can get to that later. But when you love yourself enough, then you draw the people who will love you the same way that you love you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, Carolyn, that was profound. And I want to repeat it. So listeners, when you love yourself, then you will draw the people that love you. Ah, I adore that. So why wait? Why not jump into that feeling that you mentioned about, you know, that self-doubt?
Okay. You know, kind of always not feeling like I was good enough. And that set me on a path to striving and people pleasing and attention getting in all the right ways. I was super smart. I was always helpful. I was always doing. So it looks like I'm just being an ordinary kid, but I had ulterior motives. I was trying to get people to feel loved. And that was how I was getting those little boosts, those little jolts of love. Like, oh, they like me. Oh, they like what I'm doing. Oh my goodness. But it was always fleeting. And so I kept having to do more to get those little bursts and those little boosts. And it became very exhausting. And then it became one of those things where it was exhausting. It was habitual. I was a habitual people pleaser. And, you know, it's almost like being addicted to anything, whether it's food or TV or drugs or whatever the case may be. When you're addicted, you get to the point where what you used to take in is not enough to get you to the same high or the same level. And so I had to do something different. And that's when I began to just say, okay, you got to figure out how to love you. And that led me down a path of just really just, you know how, I don't know if you've ever done that, but when you're really frantically searching for something, you're like throwing things out. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I need to find it. I need, where's that sock? Where's that shoe? Where's that, you know, where's that favorite bra you like to wear? You know, that one. And you just kind of like shuffling. So that's kind of what I did with my life. And I just started taught everything has to come out. Everything has to come out of the closets, out of the drawers, from under the bed, all of these life things that I've tucked away. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to look at that. We're going to deny that. We're, you know, all of those things. I just laid them all out. They were ugly. Oh my word. It was so ugly, but it was necessary just so that I could figure out how to love me. I did a lot of crying.
You know what I really adore about your story is the visual component to it. Like I could see it. I could see myself doing it. I could see you doing it. I could see every woman out there doing it. They can feel it. They know they've all been there. And I think that that's a great element to a story is that we can put ourselves there with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is that why you decided to focus on empowering women in midlife? Is that they might be feeling some of those same things that you went through and need to learn what you learned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because midlifers, so like me, I'm a Gen Xer. So I'm the child of a baby boomer. It was so different back then. There were these social norms and cultural norms and all of these things. And I mean, I remember, and I'm about to date myself, but it's okay. I
It's
remember the encyclopedia
okay. Oh yeah,
and
the
looking.
hard copy ones. Yeah.
Yes, the ones where it's like you gotta have a whole bookshelf like that back there, full, and it's just A through Z. And I remember looking in that encyclopedia, and there were like nursery rhymes almost, but it was about little boys and little girls. And it's like, what are little girls? Here's the nursery rhyme, and I remember it from years back. What are little girls made of? Made of? What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. And then there were one for boys. There's one for boys. What are little boys made of? Made of? What are little boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dogs' tails. That's what little boys are made of. And me being able to remember that verbatim this many years later just tells you the acculturation and how we were taught as children of baby boomers, taught to think and operate in the world.
Yes.
Sugar and spice and everything nice. That means be quiet, speak when spoken to, know your place, all of those things. And we're indoctrinated. And me personally, I didn't like it. And that's where the not good enough came in, because I always felt like I was being judged by everybody else in how I live my life, how I grew up, how I behaved. And it was always based upon how am I lining up with that funky poem,
Oh my
Sugar
goodness.
and Spice and Everything Nice.
Yeah, I can feel you so deeply right now. Right there with you is a phrase that I heard and balked against my whole life, which is little girl should be seen and not heard. Right. And it ties very, very closely to what you're talking about. And I know the poem you're talking about as well. But that one, you should be seen and not heard, might explain why I became a speaker, but that's a whole other path that we
The
don't have
whole,
to go down. But
yeah.
it's that fighting against that those norms that you mentioned that are no more, right? I mean, they still exist, of course, but it's good to battle against them. And
Oh,
it's
yeah.
why so many women in particular feel scared to find their voice. But when they find it, oh, does the world need to hear it? I love it.
And the stories that we can tell, oh my goodness, in ways that, because as women, our perspective is just so different. It's so unique, and it's unique to each one of us and unique to the experiences that we've all had in our lifetime. And so no matter if it's the same story, if you got 50 women telling the same story, it will come out 50 different ways. And
That's
it will be colorful and vibrant and funny and nice. I mean, just amazing. The way that we give our stories, but it's being able to find our voices, not just around each other. That can be easy. It can be difficult too, but sometimes it's easy. But in the places where our voices are truly needed, where our perspective is, I mean, the environment is screaming for our perspective, and we kind of sit on ourselves and we sit on our hands and we're like, I really want to, but sometimes I know for me personally, I'm not always sure if I can control the words as they come out, because sometimes they come from a place where you're, and I hate to use where you're, I'm not going to say the T word, triggered, but where it really hits you in a way where it is like you get a gut punch and everything comes out of your mouth. And because we're concerned, I know I have concern for how I'm going to express those feelings and those emotions. I tend to pull back and say, maybe not. Let's do this in an email, or let's do this an hour later or so, you know. So that's the challenge with finding your voice and being in those places where your voice is so needed, and yet we're not taking the opportunity to get in those spaces.
You know, I like when you were talking about like just pausing, right? I call it the power of the pause, because when things are built up and built up and built up, right? And then when we open the floodgates, you don't know how it's going to come out. I gotcha. I totally gotcha. So the power of the pause is super, super important. But I think also just practicing what you're talking about and using our voice more and more, and maybe writing, journaling to get it out first in whatever way that it needs to come out of you, or talking to other women first. But so that when the opportunity comes up and we're in a meeting, we're, you know, there with other top players, that we need to be able to feel comfortable speaking, we have to practice, right? And so I love that you're out there helping women, empowering women to be able to find that voice and be ready when the time comes it needs to be heard.
Because amazingly enough, and this is what I found with the people that I've worked with, when they step up, when they finally step into their place, and they give voice to that longing, that desire, those words that needed to be said, when they give voice to it, they are surprised at the response, because it's never what they think it's going to be. It's always like, okay. You know, it's like, people are very accepting of it because it's needed in that space and in that time. And we get several opportunities to get there. And when we finally get there, we realize that what I had to say had power. It was needed in the space, and the people were waiting for me to give it.
Right. You know, so, and it was our own fear that held us back. So this is actually a good segue into asking you the question that I like to ask all of my guests with a show called From Fear to Fire. I like to ask my guests if there has been a challenge or a fear that you have personally faced, either in business or life, that you learned something from that you could share with our listeners.
Okay, I chuckle at that because yes. I've developed a fear of heights. And I never had a fear of heights. I'm always a daredevil, and I still am. But I developed somewhere in my late 30s, after I had children, suddenly I developed a fear of heights. And it still is prevalent. I haven't necessarily conquered it, but I deal with it regularly. I don't like bridges, you know, the big bridges that, like, when you're driving, the ones that are like over water, is several of them here on the East Coast. And I am like gripping the steering wheel and all of that. But I will not let that change the trajectory of my life or stop me from doing the things that I enjoy. And okay, so here's another story. We were at a water park, and there was this big, it was a tall one, and you had to take your little floaty up and everything, but it didn't have steps. So usually if I have steps and they have the chains, I'm good. It had ramps. So it was like a ramp and a ramp and ramp, and you had to keep, and there was no real railings. It was like, I felt like I was walking the plank. So I handed off my floaty to someone. I said, hold this. And I literally crawled, hand and feet, not on my knees, it's like foot and hands, up this ramp. And people were like looking at me, and I was like, I'm doing it. I can't look over the side because I'm afraid, but I want to do this ride with my children. And I got up there, my whole entire family was like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. I said, but I'm here. Right? I was like, I'm here. Give me my floaty. Let's do this. That was the best, the most exhilarating, satisfying ride that I have ever been on, because I would not allow my fear to keep me on the ground.
Mm. That's a fantastic story. And what a lesson. Yeah, okay, you embarrass them, but so does a lot of stuff that we do, right? So you embarrass them. But what you taught them was an incredible life lesson. That's fabulous. I knew I'd get something good out of you for that one.
I never give in to that because it's, you know, they call it, it's the paper tiger, false evidence appearing real. It's a lot of ways and it all sounds really great. But when you're in the throes of that fear and it grabs you by the throat, it takes so much courage to really just take that one step. Mm-hmm. I took mine on my hands and feet.
For those of you out there listening, wherever you might be, whatever that fear is, you know, that one step that we started this whole call with that Dr. Carolyn Mack mentioned in the beginning, it applies for you. Just take that one step, whether it's on your hands and knees or your feet and your hands or whatever it is, that's okay. That's okay.
You've got to do it a boot, scoot, and boogie, whatever.
Whatever
take
it
the
takes.
Step.
That's right. I love it. I love it. You know, there's so much change going on in the world now. So what things do you see for yourself? What challenges have you had with change? What suggestions or tips do you have for people who are navigating change?
Navigating change. And it's easy to say, just go for it, just do it. But really and truthfully, when you start back to the pulling the things out about your life, is really just embracing what it is. Knowing and just saying, this is who I am. Yes, I'm afraid. Why am I? Then you start to question. And I don't want to say why. I try and stay away from saying why because that's so accusatory. I want to say, what is it that is causing me to be afraid? And then you can pinpoint that thing. And then, okay, and how is it that I came to be afraid of this thing? And so you just begin to just dismantle it with a question, become curious, dismantle it. And then before you know it, you've gotten to the nucleus of it and you see it. And it's like, is that all? I built up all of this around this thing and this is all that it is. And then you can choose to set it aside, choose to make your peace with it, crush it, burn it, whatever you choose to do with it is up to you because now you know what it is and you know how to deal with it. And all of the things that you built up around it, you've now taken away.
Love that. Awesome. Do you have any books or podcasts or, you know, resources that have helped you that you'd like to share with people?
I have a gaggle of books. I love reading books about people that, especially autobiographies of people and their stories and how, and there are people, you know, well-known people, Viola Davis, Michelle Obama, Tabitha Brown, all of those. There's one that's called, and I have it on my Audible, and that one back there, Win the Day. That one was a great one. You know, lots and lots of books that I read, but I have one and I took the assessment and I said, this is amazing because it really helps you to really look at yourself and living your best life assessment. And it really is, it's personal to you. And it's how you just figure out these spaces. It gives like seven areas per category. And you go in and you decide, yes, I'm doing this. No, I'm not. And then you get this big picture of how you're living your life currently. Now, the trick in this assessment, and I had to do it myself, is figuring out, am I going to tell the truth about myself or am I going to lie to myself?
And that's where it gets every day, right?
That's the trick. Like, am I going to be honest with myself today? Because at the end of it all, you really are just you and yourself, you, yourself, and you. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, and all the things that we tell ourselves, we tell it to ourselves first before it ever gets to anyone else. So when we decide to become honest with ourselves and really look at these things, that's when things begin to change for us.
That honesty, I think that is a huge key. I love it. And I'm a reader too. And I love that. I have not done that one. I've not read that. So I'm going to check that out. Thank you for that.
You are
so
welcome.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships. We're getting close to the end already, but
okay.
How have, you know, the relationships in your life, how have they helped you, hurt you, whatever influenced you in any capacity, and how, what would you recommend in helping people to move forward when it comes to their relationships?
Well, my relationships have all taught me something, and that is a retroactive assessment that I've made. You know, when you're in the throes of it, whether it's good, bad, whatever it is, however you tend to categorize it, it is teaching you something, not so much something about the other person, but it's teaching you about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because my former mother-in-law, may she rest in peace, she always said, and I thought this was always so funny, there are two sides to a pancake, no matter how flat it is. And so, so it's like there, you know, it's not just one person in a relationship. There are two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you are bringing something to that relationship, and whatever's happening in it, you have to own your part of it, own what you bring to it, and learn from it. So that if, for instance, if your relationship doesn't last, or if it lasts longer than it should, I mean, a lot of people stay in relationships for the sake of being in relationships and they're unhappy. So the whole idea is to know you. And when you know you, you can make any relationship work. So that's a big one.
Know you
But,
for these are
yeah.
Great, great suggestions. Oh my goodness. You know, this time is just flying by. I could chat with you all day, but let's just take a moment and let people know how they can reach you. I know you have this cool assessment. Could you tell them a little bit about that?
It's the Living Your Best Life assessment. I kind of alluded to it in the other segment, but it's about really looking at yourself, and it's super simple. It's yes, no, I don't want to talk about it. So we always have that piece. It's like, yes, no, I don't want to talk about it. So as you add them up, and it's on your own, it's like a one for one, figure out what's bigger, your yeses, your nos, or your I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can really kind of hone in on your own plan for deciding what you need to tackle first in your life. Because it's always easier to tackle up around the edges and then move in a little deeper and move in a little deeper. And so what I have is there is the assessment. Once you take the assessment, then you'll get the free ebook that I have. That is the accompaniment for that assessment.
Nice. This
Yes.
is good stuff. So listeners, don't worry. We will put the assessment link into the show notes. Carolyn, could we also put your, you know, LinkedIn, or do you want to let people know about, would you prefer a website or an email, or?
You can definitely hit me up on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Dr. Carolyn D. Mack on LinkedIn. I'm also on Facebook, Carolyn D. Mack. That's where you can find my Blue Robe Chronicles, which is a daily live that I do, like in the mornings when I'm getting myself together and I'm downloading my thoughts. I share those with my audience. So you can catch me on there. I am on all of the socials in various ways, but LinkedIn and Facebook are my primary sources. And I just kind of cross pollinate from there.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, listeners, new, check it out. And don't worry, like I said, if you're driving, don't write it down. We'll take care of it and put in the show notes for you. So it's time. It's time for those final parting words of wisdom. You already gave us some good stuff, but what is that one last thing that you want to make sure that people leave with?
Remember that you are greatness. Period. That's a full sentence.
You are Greatness. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Carolyn. You have been an absolute pleasure. You've told some great stories that have lessons and some humor attached to them too. So we do appreciate you. And we appreciate you as well, listeners. Thank you so much for the testimonials that you add on there. And if you love Dr. Carolyn Mack, then share this out with a friend. Put it on your social media. We love that too. So thank you all, and we will see you next week.